deep in the heart of the Welsh valleys, a young man had a deceptively young and unfathomably handsome man had decided that it was his destiny to become the greatest dog agility handler the world had ever seen. So he set about learning his craft. His front crosses were crisper than a dry December morning in the Brecon Mountains. His catchkers were slicker than a boiled pigeon in a rubber tube sock. The intensity, accuracy and speed and natural flamboyance he brought far surpassed anything the sport had ever seen and would ever likely see again. The time was approaching where he would be ready to shine on the world stage and begin his legacy. But he realized, to win any battle, you must first know your enemy. Welcome along, everyone. We're in the second season of Know Your Enemy now, and the guest today, the enemy at the gates, is Kirsty Jorgensen. I know I'm saying that wrong, so Kirsty, do you want to pronounce it properly for people?
Yes, I think you are saying it quite good. But in my Norwegian, where with my dialect, because it's pronounced different in Norway as well, but I say Kirsty.
Okay, so I challenge everyone to try and pronounce that again. Do it once more for everyone.
Kirsty.
Brilliant. That's properly cool. I really, really like it. Okay, so we know who you are. We know who your name is. But how would you describe yourself today to someone who doesn't know you?
I would say I am 27. I'm from Norway. My name is Kirsty Jorgensen. I live in not on the countryside, too far away, but I'm definitely not in the city. And I am very passionate about dogs and now also dog sports and agility. For the past 7 years, I've done agility. And I am educated as a teacher. So I worked some years as a teacher, but now actually this is the first time I'm kind of living for agility, because I had gotten so many requests, both abroad and also in my country. And I've also held seminars a lot, and I think it's quite fun. So I thought now it's the time to explore the world and get in to really learn more about agility. Yeah, at the moment, as I don't have kids or anything, I don't have anything attached, so I can travel a lot. And I'm passionate about almost anything. I think it's hard for me to not get interested in any topic, but especially agility and dogs. People. I'm a teacher, so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I assume most people know, but I probably should have said, firstly, congratulations, because you won the small category in the AWCs this year. So congratulations. I'm sure most people did know that, but I should have probably said it. So apologies for not saying that early. So you just said kind of you've been into the agility for seven years. Is that when you first got into agility as well then?
I did my first beginners seminar introduction in 2015 March.
Yeah.
So that was the first time I met agility, and then I didn't take it seriously before in 2017.
Okay, so was your first dog in agility, was it Mex or was it a different dog?
Yes, Mexi is the first one, and she wasn't the one I did the beginner's seminar with.
Okay.
That was actually a German Shepherd.
Okay.
But Mexi came in my life in 2016, and we did our debut in 2017 at the summer.
Yeah.
And I think 2018, we did our first championship. So it was quite a ride with her.
Yeah, for sure. And so for people who don't know, Mexi is a Chotsky Pei. Is that how you say it?
It depends. I think the people from Czech Republic would pronounce it the best. But it's Chotsky Pes, I think.
Okay.
For them, we say Chotsky Pes, or
Chotsky.
You can just say Bohemian Shepherd.
Okay, cool. So quite I don't want to say unusual, but uncommon breed then. So was there any particular thing that took you towards that breed? What made you go for Mexi in the first place?
I was really into German Shepherds, and you know, both their style and their worth, their work. And I like the working breeds, and I really like, I had been raised kind of with German Shepherds, so I was really into that, I would say, like, environment, or, yeah. But since I had participated at a seminar with Agility, I wanted a dog that was, like, close to a German Shepherd, but with a more athletic body, so it fitted doing agility over time. And yeah, so that was really like the things I looked for. And I had seen the breed before, but I didn't know much about them.
Yeah.
So when I did the research, I happened to come over Mexi's litter, and suddenly she was mine. So.
It's quite interesting because I was speaking to my wife earlier today, and I was saying about the podcast that I was doing, and that you had a Chodsky pace. I don't know if I'm saying it right. I'm trying. And she asked me how would I describe it, and I actually said that I would describe it as like a cross between a German Shepherd and a Border Collie. So it's quite interesting that you kind of said that that's kind of what you were going for almost as well, isn't it?
And Mexi is also like, she's a very athletic type of the breed as well.
Okay, yeah.
Tiny. It's like intermediate, but most of the dogs are more like 50 centimeters high, so she's like a small and more sporty type of the breed as well. So I was quite lucky with getting her out of the breed.
Is there many others doing agility that you see?
I don't know what you categorize as like many, but it's a few at least, and there's always coming more, and they are especially taking like contact with me. I know that I have two Chodskys, actually. I have Keisha as well. She's not doing a lot of agility, but she is like a visitor at like nursing homes and stuff.
Oh, cool, yeah. So a support dog.
It's called Red Cross.
Yeah.
And she has puppies for her breeder, and some of her babies, I think, or puppies. They are doing agility, and I know that some of her, like, some relatives, I think it's like, she's aunt, what's it called? Her nephew is doing agility, and I actually had him at a seminar this weekend.
Oh, cool. So, like I said, Well, it's good that you're able to be the ambassador for the breed. I think you're probably the most well-known handler of them. So that's quite cool for you, I'm sure. So let's go back a little bit. I want to get into the fact that now you're teaching for full-time?
Yeah.
But what I want to start with is when you first got into agility. And for someone now who has just won the World Championships, to most people that'll be, I don't want to say the pinnacle, because like you might do it more times and all that kind of thing, but that's a really a high level of competition. And for someone to do that, who started 7 years ago, that's quite, I don't want to say a fast track, but you've got there quite quickly. So what do you think you've done differently maybe to, or how could you say, how would you give advice to someone who wants to maybe compete at a high level? What do you think you've done to get you there so quickly?
I think I've been a very open-minded person, always seeking information and never like settling down with the information I have or the methods I already know. I'm always like seeking information from others, inspired by others. And I've participated at a lot of seminars, both for people I like wanted to participate for, but also for people I may not be that interested in, because what do I have to lose?
Yeah.
I don't agree with them, I don't have to listen to them. And I think that's maybe the key, because like when Mexi was young and the first year we did agility from she was 1 to like the year between 1 and 2 years old, I don't even have a count on how many seminars we participated on, because I was like so into learning more. And that was both online and it was physical, and I was so hooked on learning, and I still are. So I still participate at everything, and I never like see someone holding a seminar and be like, I'm too good for them, or have that kind of attitude, because I can always learn something, because if I don't agree with them, then I just feel like more confidence in my own opinions.
Yeah.
And if maybe I have something to like bring to the table that can make me do some reflections, or yeah, it's always something to learn.
Yeah, and I think it's partly down to how strong and confident you are as a person yourself that you would feel fine to go to a seminar, firstly, and take the chance that you might learn something, but then obviously confident enough that if you don't think it's beneficial, don't feel like you have to take anything either. I think for a lot of people that it would be something that they maybe wouldn't feel confident in doing. And like you said, if you go to so many seminars and take in everything, not everything is necessarily going to be useful for you. So a strength for you, I'm sure, is the fact that you are confident enough to know what would be beneficial and perhaps what might not help, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I always discuss it with the people I like, find, like, I think that they are kind of the same mindset as me or have the same perspective at dog training or handling or something, that if I see something or discover something or get told something that I don't know if I agree with or not, I always discuss it with others to make sure, like, do they have a point here or do they not? And how should I move forward with this information? And if I'm at the seminar and I don't know, it's like, it never hurts to try, because like, how often do you come on a seminar and your dog has learned something just on that seminar?
Yeah,
that's
for
not
sure.
So often. Which also means that if you do something like wrong, it's still like it doesn't hurt over time.
Yeah, they're not going to have learned it in one day, are they? It takes time, so.
No. Yeah, so you can still try it and then feel like I don't have a big belief in this method for my dog. Maybe it works for someone else, but not for my dog or my handling system or yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I mean, I think that's good advice for everyone, is be open-minded. But don't, you know, use your own common sense as well and use your own judgment, because, you know, ultimately, you know your dog, you'd hope, well enough to make the decisions that are right for them.
I know for certain that I have given some advices like years ago that I know that didn't fit for that type of dog, but I didn't know that at that time.
Yeah.
I know it now. And they might have just like taken everything and just used it and it all went wrong somehow, someplace at the so I think it's like everyone just does whatever we know and does the best we can, and we can't do anything more than that. So it's just about like becoming better than we were yesterday or last week or last year. So as long as we keep evolving and keep like open-minded about like new methods and stuff, I think we will be better. So
yeah, no,
that's my main goal. Like, I don't care so much about the results. I just want to get better.
Yeah, and I mean, if you focus in on the process, as most people who have competed at a high level, if you can focus on the process and find the joy in working on whatever it is, and then you will find that motivation through making the small steps of progress rather than looking at the end goal. And if you
I think it's so funny because I have so many like friends in agility who's like, they're so like stargazed about me winning at the AVC.
Yeah, yeah.
<I'm> not. Because I'm just like, yeah, but that was, I was like, I don't know if you noticed, but when I run in the finish line at the last, in the agility run, I don't even look back to like see
the time,
I have no idea how it went. I didn't know if I may have knocked the bar that I didn't see. I didn't see because I was so happy with my performance.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how it went until like the Norwegian fans just like blew up. Then I kind of understood because the poor man, like Renan, he disqualified or dropped or something like that. And then the Norwegian fans like got crazy. And then I understood it because like, yeah. But I never saw the like screen.
But that's one of the reasons what probably helped you as well, right? Is the fact that you were fully focused on the moment and you were fully present in the moment. Focusing on the process probably helped you get the outcome that you wanted. You know, ultimately, you're there to compete. And I'm not saying that the that was the only goal for you was to win. Like you said, you were focused on the process. But, you know, if you're competing, it's nice to win as well. So I'm sure that helped. But then with regards to your success, do you think it's down to the training? Do you think it's down to the dog? Or do you think it's down to the handler? Or do you think it's a bit of everything? Where do you place your success?
I think it's down to everything, and it's also like the community and everything around, the surroundings, and what kind of person you are and what kind of like tools or people you have around you to push you. And we have a really like growth mindset in Norway. I think everyone is like cheering for each other. We are not like competing against each other. We are competing with each other, and we are always like, we are running for the team and not like to be the best at the team.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that really helps, that we are like, we want to do good together and not just see who's the best on the team. And I think that is like a very big like brick.
Well, it helps, doesn't it? Because you're all supporting each other and you're all working towards a common goal, really. In the sense that like, if one person is successful, everyone is successful. And that's kind of like the thing that a lot of people maybe don't understand in agility if they haven't come from a team sport. When you're at that international level, it is a team sport again, isn't it? Even though you're individually competing. You know,
it wouldn't be fun to like do good if no one were there to like celebrate with you.
Yeah, for sure.
So
I agree with you completely. I mean, I come from team sports, and like that's part of the thing that I used to love is like you never win on your own. You always win with your friends, and equally, you know, no one likes to lose, but when you lose, you're not alone. So, you know, it's part of it. And like,
I have played handball for a lot of years. And
okay.
It's like, so that was like, it's quite the same, even though I do this with my dog and we do as best as we can. It's like, we represent our country. We do it as a team. It's like, we are never better than our like weakest team.
Yeah, for sure.
And I really hate if it would have come to the point where everyone is like traveling to a country and we are competing at the same championship and we are like splitted in groups or something. I think that's like really sad.
Yeah.
I want everyone to feel like they are a part of the same team and like rooting for each other and wanting to do as good as possible for everyone. So we can show that we are a strong nation like in agility together, and not it's like, it's not just one team like that stands out. It's like it's a nation that does well together because we have this growth mindset among like in the environment in Norway.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the key to success.
Yeah, it's really, really cool to hear as well, and it's good that I think it's the way forward as well, because even like you say, you're all wanting everyone to do well. If everyone's wanting everyone to do well, that's just going to raise the level anyway, isn't it? So I don't usually talk about this kind of thing on the podcast, but I will now because we've done one series and hopefully people know that this isn't just about human fitness, which is obviously what I do. But I also know that you've currently started doing a little bit more for yourself. So how important do you feel it is? And then maybe tell me why. Why do you find it important?
I think like in the evolution that the agility has gone now, the development of the agility courses, it's been like, yes, of course, you can solve a lot of things with really, really cool and skilled dogs. But now it's really come down to being like a fast handler as well, because even though you can solve it or the dog can solve it as its own, you can push the time better, you can shape the lines better if you're there with the dog.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the main reason I have been motivated to push myself harder now, and I'm going into my fourth month of like training what's it called, regularly, because normally I had been like in summertime I'm usually like better at it because then I can like run outside and stuff, but in the wintertime I go in this like then I'm a bear. I don't like to be outside. So and then I searched up like a gym close to me and be like, do you have any personal trainers who can help me? And I want focus on this and this and this. And I was like really like writing a long email, sending pictures and describing what agility was and what I needed. And then I got paired up or matched with this personal trainer who has a lot of experience with, I don't know what it's called in English now, but it's sports where running and...
Yeah, it's called invasion games. That's the English terminology from like a strength and conditioning point of view. It's an invasion game type fitness because it's lots of acceleration, deceleration, changing direction, all that kind of stuff. Obviously,
she's also a runner herself, so I got matched with her.
Oh, that's makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, obviously, from my point of view, I feel like it's important. But what you've said there is like my thing has always been: is do you need to be physically fit to win? No, but it helps. And that's my thing is like, it helps, you know, if you can be there to show a line, that's going to help. But I actually think the pros of doing physical fitness are way more than just what you get in agility. Because like you said, now you're 4 months in, how do you feel about yourself? And like, how much more confident are you because of regularly doing difficult things? Speak a little bit about that, because I think that's the bit that no one talks about, is how it affects us in everyday life as well. I mean, I'm super passionate about it and I try not to bring it into this podcast because that's not what it's about. But I know you've just kind of really got into it yourself. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about it.
I think it's a lot of pros to doing it because, yeah, as you say, we feel better of yourself. You feel more confident and you get to know your body better. Like now I can like calculate how fast I run when I give 70%, when I give 80% and stuff like that, which makes it easier for me on the course when I like course walk, that I know if I'm going to make this blind cross or not, because I know my body, I know like how fast I can accelerate or how fast I can run. And one of the like coolest aspects I've been like more aware of, I knew this like before, but now I kind of know more about it, is like mobility, specific like strength exercises that has with acceleration, how stretching affects like my running skills and everything, and how warm up and cool down and whatever. I knew about this, but now that I have like talked with it more and like actually worked with it with my body, it's so easy to like
feel the benefits straight away, kind of thing.
Yeah, but like to associate with my dogs.
Oh yeah.
Because like I knew that everything was like important for the dogs, like warm up, cool down, and stuff like that. But now it's like, oh, the mobility, doing like regular mobility exercises or strength exercises, how much that affects the body and their performance on the agility course. It's like, when you get like information, it's like, oh, why haven't I seen this?
You get that light bulb moment, don't you, where it starts making sense a little bit. So another area that I think is very, very important, and again, it's not my area of expertise, but I was just wondering more about this, is how much work do you do on your mental side of things? So like mental management, being able to cope with stress. And I'm guessing you do stuff because you've already said about how you focus on the process. So is there anything that you'd recommend people look at, any books you tell people to read or anything like that, really?
Yeah, so I have this huge, not crush, but, you know...
fascination.
I'm obsessed with this one person, and that is Øystein Pølstad Pettersen, who is like a cross-country skier, or he doesn't do it now, but he was a cross-country skier from Norway.
Yeah.
And he has this whole thing about mentality now, because he was in such great shape and never, like, he'd never felt like he performed his best at competitions because of this and that. And now that he has worked so much with it, he's helping others release their potential. And I think he has, like, inspired me a lot. And I have also participated at some seminars with, like, Vappu Alastalo, I think, from Finland. That was, like, I think that was one of the first seminars I was doing with, like, where I was just at a seminar for just mental training. But I have also, like, got some drops here and there, but I have never like actually caught it as a thing for my mental training.
Yeah.
But I think I have a personality type where I'm always quite positive, and I think it's just fits well with mental training as well. And that's maybe a luck thing, I don't know, but I think I don't remember having like a
problem. Yeah. No, I know what you mean. And like a lot of the time is like it feeds into each other as well, doesn't it? If you're a positive person, then even if something is not necessarily positive, someone who's negative might look at something that's neutral negatively. Because you're positive, you might look at a neutral thing and be positive about it. And it's just who you are as a person. Yeah. So I totally understand that as well. But I just think
how much I work with it, I think it's hard because I don't like do like, okay, now I'm sitting down and I'm working with mental training for an hour. I don't have that kind of aspect on it, but I can write myself a few questions that I reflect on during a walk or like a hike.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I have like notes on my phone, and I can walk, and then if I come up with a thought or something inspirational or something I want to remember from how I want to do things at competition or something I want to remember, I write it down instantly because I know I'm going to forget it. And then I walk further, and then if something else comes along, I write it down. So, and I don't really do much about these notes. It's just that I know that if I write it down, I remember it better.
Yeah, it makes it real almost as well.
And I listen to a lot of podcasts, but they're also Norwegian, so it doesn't really help.
No, I think it's just a case that it is worth like, I know a lot of people who, like, in training, they can be brilliant, and then it comes to a competition, and, you know, I'm fortunate that I've had help with it in the past, but they are unable to perform to their potential because they can't hold it together mentally. So for some people, it's super important. Like, for yourself, obviously, it's good that you're interested in it, but perhaps you didn't need too much help in the first place if you are pretty positive anyway, because most of the time, people struggle when it becomes negative thoughts, and then they go in that downward spiral, don't they?
I think one of the key factors here for me is that I had to deal with Mexi, because when I started to compete with Mexi, she was like one of the slower grade 3 dogs, and we never, even though I performed like one of our best runs until that point, I still could end up like 12th place. And I really had to work with myself on not getting negative about that, because I was happy until I saw the result list.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, this is something I need to do with myself, because I can't compete anymore if my reaction is always going to be focused on how the others did compared to me, because that's just unfair to my dog.
Yeah, it takes away the joy for you as well, doesn't it?
That's where it all started.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
And that's where it all started.
Hi guys, Dalton and Jody here from Better Dog.
We have just launched our new product, Better Hydration, the goat's milk hydration drink for dogs.
It's packed full of natural ingredients designed to give them that extra boost, whether they are working, competing, or just simply enjoy an active lifestyle.
Head over to wearebetterdog.com to find out what it's all about, and use your exclusive discount code WRONGENDOFTUNNEL for 10% off.
Because every dog deserves better.
So, when you are in competition then, is there anyone who has had the biggest influence on you then, maybe even as a trainer, or maybe just someone as like as a competitor, you've seen them and tried to kind of like take little bits from them? Is there anyone who really stands out for you
lately, like the past few years, maybe like the past 1.5 years? I've been so I have worked so hard with going out of the training aspect and becoming a handler, because I've been so focused on being a dog trainer.
Yeah.
So from that point, when I did, so like lately now, the past few years, I have like Elle Beate Sæther, who came second in the AVC. She's one of the people I have looked up to, because she is always trying to push her dogs to like the best they can on the course. And she is definitely a handler when she's at competitions. Oh, this is so hard, because I feel like if I mention a few, it's
sometimes there's just someone who has like a massive influence on people. So I always ask, because sometimes there is, but if there isn't anyone, and it's not that there's no one that stands out, but I totally understand.
Like, and I have And I have Elin, and I have Iren. I have everyone who actually participated at like the ADC with Team Norway now, because everyone I think has worked on like the same things.
Yeah.
Becoming a better handler and pushing all we can in our runs and focus on like performing the best we can for our dogs. So I think, as I said earlier, like, It's a thing in Norway where we're like, okay, now we go into this, and everyone is kind of working
together, yeah.
In it, but I know some are stuck like with criteria and stuff, and I do that as well. I don't always be a handler at small competitions. Sometimes I take runs and I determine on pre-hand that this run will be held for criteria if needed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm kind of open for it.
Yeah, no, that makes
but
sense.
I have worked a lot with being a handler, because I have always like analyzed everything while I run.
Yeah.
Which basically makes it hard to be on time for whatever next obstacle I'm going to. So that's really something I have trained a lot. And I have a lot of like international handlers who are really good at doing this as well. Like, Isabel Orenius Emanuelsson, who is Swedish, and Enya Habel and Jenny Dam, and like if we're going like Ivona Golub, Teresa Kralova, Monika Rimska, there's so many I could like list up, but who really like train on doing what they can as a handler and not always just focusing on the dog training, even though they do that as well.
Yeah, of course. You don't get to the top without being a good dog trainer. Yeah, for sure. I don't know if you saw the episode that I did with Dave, but we did a Mount Rushmore of agility handlers. Now, what I'm going to say to you is...
I didn't see it.
So, do you know what Mount Rushmore is, though?
Yeah, the mountain.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah.
So Mount Rushmore was established, and at the time, the four presidents, they represented the most important events in the history of the United States. So if you were going to do a Mount Rushmore, what four people would you put on there who you feel represent the most important people in agility? And it can be for your own reasons, right? Like for someone else. When we did this episode, there were lots of people who were upset because Dave didn't pick who theirs were. But for me, I don't think they understood, because someone who necessarily was influential to you doesn't mean they were to someone else. So I'm interested, who did you feel has been influential to agility to you?
Well, like if I'm trying to look back at who I thought was like my idols when I was, when I didn't know anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Should I say, like, Norwegian people, or should I try to take international people?
Honestly, I think this is... Like, so for a lot of people, when you were... Like, I was going to say growing up then. When you were first coming into the sport, there would be someone who, like you say, maybe was the inspiration for you. And whether they're well-known internationally or not doesn't matter, because to you, they were still inspirational. So this answer is so wide... It could be as wide as you want. You could pick someone who you feel has had the biggest influence in agility worldwide, or you could pick all four that had the biggest influence on you.
Okay, so I will start with like Jan Egil Eide.
Yeah.
Because he's a judge, he has been in the agility committee, like sport committee, what it's called, for Norway, and has been with us and develop a lot of the Norwegian environment, or the group, like the
group
level
dynamic
here is a lot, because he has like done a lot with he has influenced a lot. So
yeah.
I think him, and he has also judged, you know, in the AWC.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
AWC, I'm sorry.
I knew what you meant.
Okay. Yeah. So I think him, and one of the people I have like looked up to a lot is Jenny Dam.
Yeah.
So Jan Egil and Jenny Dam. Okay, now we have a Norwegian and we have a Swedish one. And I think like Teresa Kralova.
Yeah.
That's I say it right.
Yeah, I think that's how I say it. I'm probably no expert either, though.
But I've seen her so much like on the screen, because you know, last year was the first time I ever participated, like watched the AWC live. So I have always just seen it from the screen. And I have to pick one more. Oh, it's so hard because I don't
there will be people you leave out, but don't worry. Don't worry. Okay. You're allowed to leave people out.
Okay. It has to be like one German, like Tobias Fust, I think, because he was also like one of my wow. He was like always
doing up
so
there.
Good. So now I have like one judge and one or two, three. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with
I
that.
I think also I would also like have Elle Beate with.
You can have because a secret fifth head.
I want five.
Yeah, that's fine. I can let you have five. I've sprung the question on you, so I'll let you have five. So now we're going to move into kind of...
She's like also such a good handler because she's also taken the fitness really like seriously from the start.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she might be like one of the few ones in Norway who has done it so truly from the start with the fitness because...
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm like coming along, and some people have come along like a few years ago, but I think she's always been
she's
like,
always known, yeah, yeah,
really good at it. And there was one time when she was like such a good handler in Norway, as long as I know Agility, of course, because 20 years ago I'm sure there were people too,
yeah,
but she was like she was the one who stood out and did everything with not much because it's in Norway, we don't have like a lot of halls and everything, and she has also been like working 100% and or studied, so this is like a hobby for her, and she has performed so well year after year, and
yeah.
She deserves a place on that Mount Rushmore.
She's on there, she's made it. So we're going to go into yeah. real life questions now, and we touched on it earlier. You were initially you're qualified as a teacher,
yeah.
But now you've gone full-time into agility. So how is that going? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, it's quite good. I think it's hard for me to like be really strict with everything because I have to say no to, I have so many requests. I already have like almost fully booked my 2024 before I like decided to do this. So it's crazy. And, you know, AWC didn't exactly help.
I was going to say, that's definitely a good advertising for you.
Yeah. And I think it's really hard because I don't want to, like, let people down. I want to, like, be nice to everyone and I want to have something to bring to the table to everyone, but I don't have the time to do it.
There's only so many days in a year, isn't there?
Yeah. And also, like, so many people are like, yeah, how about online courses and stuff, but I'm so picky with how I want it to be organized and how much I have this, I don't really, it's a weird thing to say, but I don't really want to live off agility.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I want to spread the information like free and I can't do it because now if I want to explore everything, it doesn't match with the teacher job because you can't take time off whenever
yeah,
you want.
Yeah,
and
for
stuff.
Sure.
So, it was really like all or nothing, so yeah, but yeah, so it's hard, but yeah, I managed, and I'm trying to come up with one online course now, but I'm just so picky with everything, so it takes a lot of time.
But that's probably one of the reasons why you did manage to win the AWCs in 7 years, so I mean, perfectionist traits. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's probably a bad thing for you because you've got a way of doing something. And if it isn't done that way, then you're not happy.
Mm.
So it's a curse and a blessing, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think, then, is your biggest fear?
I think my biggest fear is that I one day will wake up and be like, this is maybe a bit controversial, but... Why on hell did I do agility with my dogs? Because it's so damaging.
Okay, that's interesting. What makes you think that? Or do you just, you not necessarily think it, but you've got an inkling of it? What do you think?
I think because so many, I have been really, really lucky. Or like, not just luck, but you know.
Yeah, you've done all the work, yeah.
Before, but I don't have any injured dog and I have never had it. Never an injury. But I have friends who had it. I have people who had like had to put their dogs down because of injuries that occurred on the agility course. And I think that in average, it seems like an agility dog may be living shorter than a normal like sport family dog, not the ones who just like lay on the couch, but the ones who have like more variety and doesn't need the pushing on going to a certain level in agility. So I'm just afraid that I would at some point in my life will be like, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah, that's interesting. But this, so, what I would say to that then is, what would you say if we know with all sports at the highest level, there are things that they can be doing to mitigate the chances of injuries that now you are doing yourself with the physical activities that you're doing as well. And I know that, like, I'm sure that you're doing these things with your dog as well. I think the danger comes when someone wants to get to the highest level, but then doesn't have the knowledge to put the injury prevention type work in. Do you think?
Yeah. I don't think I would, like, for my dogs, I think I will do quite good choices, because yeah. if I had been a bit like unsure if my dog were ready for a championship, I would have pulled up, like, I wouldn't even think twice about it. It would have been an easy decision.
Yeah.
But I don't think everyone has that type of point of view, because they are so obsessed with performing agility and they are so obsessed with the result or the experience that they are putting agility above their dogs. And I'm afraid that I kind of contribute to...
I know what you're saying, yeah. That's your concern, is that that was, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm also afraid that one day one of my dogs will get one kind of injury like that and I didn't see it coming or something like that. That's like, you asked for my fear, and that's...
No, I get it. And I think it's a really interesting one, the way that, like, that's where you're... Like, obviously, you're doing all of the things that you can preventatively anyway. And it's just, it's a good talking point, I think. Is everyone who's competing at the highest level doing everything they can? Because ultimately, you could be doing everything you can and you could still get an injury. Like, sometimes it is just luck, but equally, you could get knocked over crossing the road. Hopefully, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it, you know, but, like, you can do everything and it can still go wrong.
Yeah, and it's so hard because, like, I know there are so many different rules from team manager to team manager or from team to team on how they are, like, checking their dogs before championships and how the rules are. And I think the Norwegian rules are quite, like, sloppy at this point, because if one of the dogs are, like, injured, the first time you will, like, hear about it or, like, notice it, if the handler has been quiet about it, then you will maybe discover it on the vet check before the championship, because we don't have anything like, we don't check our dogs before
in the lead up. Yeah.
And some of the vet checks at the championships I've been to are like, you don't even discover like anything because they are so sloppy. And that's also a concern, because maybe it's because they don't know that their dog are having pain or something like that, and or maybe they are trying to hide it. You never
it's
know,
impossible
but
to
they
know,
are like
then.
Going through anyway.
Yeah, that's interesting, and I think it's a good talking point that maybe more people should be speaking about in the long term. And as we move forward, I'm sure more will be found out about it in general anyway. Let's go sideways a little bit then. Have you got any other hobbies, or is agility your main hobby and only a hobby?
I don't have time.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought you were going to say, but I thought you never know. Maybe you can do something. I don't know.
Or it depends on what you categorize as a hobby. But, like, I like, yeah, watching movies and series. I like, yeah, hiking. But, like, that are also connected with my dogs.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's also kind of connected with agility, if you look at it like it's because of the training or something.
Yeah, for sure.
And
well, if you like watching movies, then what's your favorite movie?
Harry Potter.
Is it? You're a Harry Potter fan. Is there which one's the best one, or is there not a best one?
Yeah, it's definitely none of the first ones. I think, like, from the 6, 7 and 8 maybe, or maybe the fifth one as well, but like not the first one, but they are kind of nostalgic, but not like
not the same kind of thing. Yeah,
it's more exciting to see the last ones because of both of the graphics and because of like the people like, or Harry Potter and the rest of the crew are like more adults, so it's not that childish as the first movies.
Did you read the books as well or just watch the movies?
I have read one.
Okay, so it was more the movies than the books then.
Yeah.
So have you ever been to America in, I think it's Universal Studios, and there's like a Harry Potter world?
No, I haven't traveled that much.
Well, that should be on your list for 2024. You should go and teach in America, and then you can stop in Universal Studios on your day off and go to Harry Potter World.
Yeah, I really want to. And I'm, you know, next weekend I'm coming to Northern Ireland.
Okay, cool. So you're not going to be too far away.
No.
Oh, that'd be good. I think if you're into Harry Potter, I don't mind Harry Potter. I mean, I'm not against it. I'm not a massive fan, but I loved the theme park. It was amazing. So if you're into Harry Potter as well.
I think the reason I love it so much is because when the first movie came out, I was the same age as Harry Potter. So it has always been really easy for me to
follow along. Yeah.
I kind of grew up with Harry Potter being my age all the time, all the movies.
Yeah.
So
something to kind of relate to as well then, isn't it? What then is the thing that annoys you most? And it can be in agility or outside.
When people put agility above their dogs, like.
Yeah, I mean, kind of answered that in the last one.
Or just
one, but
buying dogs just because of agility.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They are buying like 3 and 4 puppies at a time just because who's going to be most perfect for agility, and then they just get rid of the rest. They are treating them like.
Is that happening now? Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think people are like talking loudly about it. But I often see on Facebook or Instagram that some people have gotten a dog or a puppy, and just some months later that dog is suddenly just gone and no explanation, nothing. It's just gone.
Okay. So, I didn't know that because like obviously in
I don't necessarily judge that, but when it happens like the fifth or sixth.
For sure. I mean. I know, like, in the sheep trialing world, like, often farmers will keep a couple of a litter to see which one works on the sheep best, won't they? And then they sell the rest to go and work in farms rather than to compete with. So I didn't really know that was happening in agility as well, but.
But I don't necessarily think that the dogs who get, like, they get rid of has a bad life.
No, for sure.
They may move to a better home. But I just don't like the mindset of like the only reason you're getting a dog is because of agility.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I totally get that as well. What then would you say is your best life hack? So if there's something that you could recommend everyone does, and it doesn't necessarily need to be in agility, it could be anything. What's a life hack for you? I'll tell you mine to give you an idea and maybe a chance. Yeah. If I could tell everyone to just do one thing, I'd tell them to sort out their sleep. I'd try and get everyone to clean up their sleep and have a routine, because if you sleep well, everything else becomes easier. So that's what I would say to do, and I suggest ways to do it. What about you? What would be your life hack?
I think being more honest with decisions. Like, if you don't want to do anything or do something or be a part of something, you can just say no.
Yeah. Say no. Yeah, exactly. That's a good one.
Yeah, but you know, in Norway, we have this policy where, like, I think we are one of the nations who are really, like, afraid of hurting someone's feelings. So instead of, like, just telling the truth, we are lying. And then when we get another question about the same thing, so instead of saying, you know what, I just don't like that. So I don't want to come because I don't think I will enjoy it. I just find some excuse. And then I will be asked about it later, and then I have to find another excuse, and then it's like just.
Yeah, you put yourself in more trouble almost, didn't you? Rather than just say you don't want to do something, you put yourself in the place where you're gonna have to lie again. So yeah, I like that.
I have gotten quite good at it now. I'm quite like straightforward. Or if you ask about my opinion, I'm gonna say to you, whether you like it or not, and that may be like in Norway, that's quite rude.
Oh, was it?
You usually have to be nice. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all well and good being nice, but if you don't actually mean it, then it's not that nice anyway, is it? So I think you're right. Speak your mind, and then that way...
Some people appreciate it, and some people really, like, hate that you're just speaking your mind.
Probably comes from a place of insecurity.
To, like, wrap it up and be nicer about it.
Give your opinions with an insider present that's gift wrapped so that it comes out sounding nicer. No, I think you're right. I mean, it's going to be an easier life for you if you can say what you think and not have to hide it all the time anyway, isn't it? If you could be any animal, what animal would you be? It can't be a dog.
No, but I can be like something in the water.
Yeah.
I think a dolphin. Okay. Because they are smart. And they don't get eaten so, like, by so many other...
Yeah, you're pretty up to the top of the apex there, really, aren't you, with the dolphin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they are quite smart, and they enjoy a lot of things, and, yeah.
So yeah, they still play as well, don't they? Okay, so we're going to move into the quick fire round. Don't need to take too much time on these. They're just fast answers and give people a quick chance to learn a little bit more about you. So what did you have for breakfast today?
Ciabatta with I don't eat meat, so it's I don't know what it's called, like something you like take. It's made of out of vegetables, but it's kind of like pastry.
Okay.
It's instead of liver pastry, Is that a thing?
Pate, is it?
Liver pastry?
Yeah, pate.
Pate, yes. Yeah. Instead of liver pate, it's like vegetable pate, but
that's cool.
It tastes delicious.
Yeah.
And with like pickled cucumbers or pickles.
Pickles. Yeah, that sounds nice actually.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And a glass of chocolate milk.
What is your most used emoji? Do you know what does emoji, does that make sense?
I can check it.
Yeah, check it for me.
Let's see. It's quite boring. It's just a normal smiling face.
Oh, smiley face. Well, yeah. I was hoping you'd have...
Yeah, this one as well.
Yeah. One, that's like, for those people listening, that's the peeking through your hands emoji. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
What was the last song you sung?
I sing like all the time.
Yeah?
Like all the time.
What type of music are you into? What type of music do you like?
Everything.
Okay.
I'm so easy to... I like everything. Not like really heavy metal or something. But like the typical things. I believe it was a Christmas song.
Okay.
That I sang. Maybe, probably.
Probably, yeah. Have you got your decorations up already?
Or at least if I sing something, I may not even know the name. I'm terrible at names. I'm so sorry. Like, if I meet people, I kind of met them like 5 times. I still don't like catch their name.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, I'm not very good at that either. So I definitely know where you're coming from on that one. Do you play any?
The names on songs. I'm not participating in any quiz.
No. Yeah, that's not your forte. Do you play any instruments?
I know a few chords on like the guitar.
Okay.
And maybe a few notes on like the piano, but no, I would not categorize it as playing an instrument.
Do you believe in ghosts?
No, I don't think so.
Do you have any tattoos?
No.
Do you plan to have any tattoos?
Nope. If I like something, then I will print it out and hang it on my wall.
Yeah. What superpower would you have if you could pick any?
I thought about this the other day and I had it and now I'm like, I think I will be teleporting.
Yeah, that's my pick.
It would be so much easier to hold seminars.
Yeah, you could go around the world in one day.
Or I would be a transformer, like transforming to any animal or like that, because then I would basically have all the kind of skills I would. If I wanted to fly, I just became a bird. And if I wanted to swim, I just...
See, that's clever. Thinking outside the box there. We haven't had that answer before. It's probably the best one, though. So... You might have heard a couple of the podcasts before, and I always end with the same question. I've asked you about the superpower you'd have. I've got the superpower that I can allow you to talk to your dogs. So if I give you 10 seconds to speak to each of them, what would you say?
I think I would kind of explain to them that it's important to them that they are honest with me if they feel anything, that they don't try to hide like pain or anything like that, that every emotion are coming clearly out.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe like try to teach them some way to let me know if it was a bell or if it was like somewhere yeah. they could like do something, and they, you know, people teach dogs the different kind of buttons.
Yeah, yeah.
That means different words. Maybe I would like have them prepared, and we're like, this button means this, and this button means yeah. that.
I
could like try to teach them to talk to me.
Make it way easier, wouldn't it? Make it way easier.
Yeah.
Well, firstly, thank you so much, Kirsty, for giving us some of your time today. And secondly, again, for being able to do these in what is not your first language. I mean, can't be any more grateful. And yeah, just thank you so much for coming on. But before we leave, is there anything that you want to let people know about? Obviously, you've got your online things coming. Have you got any details or anything at all? Let them know now.
I actually have prepared not anything like regarding that, but I was wondering if you might ask me the question about what people misunderstand.
Oh, yeah. No? I didn't know whether you'd want me to ask that one, so I kind of did. So go on then.
No, so I prepared that answer, or I didn't prepare, but you know, I listened to the episode of Tamás Fry.
Yeah.
And I was like, when he talked about it, I was like, okay, I know what I was going to say if I got this question.
Go on then.
And that is that I think people believe that I'm so much more of a control freak than I am. Like, they think I have, like, these Excel sheets for everything, or lists for everything, and always plan and organize everything, and that's why I'm, like, on this level. But it's not true. I'm kind of messy, but I also like to clean, so it's, like,
it's a good
I
balance.
I don't have the most clean house, but I certainly don't have like a dirty house either. And I don't have like full control of everything. Usually I can make lists and I can make this and this if I'm really interested and motivated for something. But if not, I'm just like tagging along and everything will fix itself kind of person. So
yeah.
I think that many people don't know that about me.
Well, they know now. And again, thank you so much for giving up some of your time. I genuinely appreciate it. And, you know, an hour has absolutely flown by there. So I'm sure that others will enjoy hearing your views and your opinions. And again, thank you so much for speaking so eloquently in what is your second language. Do you want to say goodbye to everyone?
Yes, thank you so much. And if you want to check out my online course that is coming as soon as I'm done perfectionizing it.
Yeah.
It's about commitment, and I don't know what it's called in English right now, but like the ability to like connect with the handler.
Connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said it.
You just praised me so much for like for the language. But yes, it's about commitment and connection.
So
and,
when. When they are, so say someone is interested in doing that course, obviously you haven't got details about it yet, but of the details will be on your Instagram and your Facebook maybe?
Yes, mostly on my Instagram. I don't use Facebook that much.
Okay.
So if you want to like follow the things I do, it's like Instagram.
Okay, so there you go. If people are interested in finding out about the course, they can find you on Instagram, and when you have made it perfect, that's where you will announce it. Perfect. Thank you very much, everyone. Speak to you soon.
And thank you so much.
And that is the end of the podcast. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to listen. I really hope you enjoyed. If you think you might know someone else who would enjoy, feel free to pass on all the information and share the podcast with them. And get involved on any of the social media platforms. It really helps the podcast grow, and I really appreciate it. See you in the next one.